Welcome, everybody, to the very first episode of The Heart of the Order. My name is Ralph Lark, coming to you solo today. Typically, there'll be three of us, James Weiser, Jeff Wild, you know, so we'll have some two-man, three-man podcasts, but you got me solo today. We will look at the end-of-the-year action on the field as the playoff races heat up, as well as the daily fantasy aspect and the seasonal fantasy aspect, too. So we'll take a look at all those things together. But today, we're just going to look at some daily concepts. We're going to take a look at yesterday, and we're going to take a look at today in terms of the night slate. Lots of times, we won't really do that day slate. People don't have a lot of chance to play that if they play daily. But we will take a look at last night's slate, as well as today's slate, what picks I made, how that went, and then where I'm going again today. But thank you for tuning in, and hopefully you get some awesome knowledge out of this. So let's dig in. All right. So, guys, let's look at yesterday. And primarily, I play on DraftKings. Okay. So I don't have a problem with FanDuel or anything like that. It's not like it's just a personal preference. All right. So when I look at, what I'm more comfortable with, the strategy I use, understanding, the price points and things like that. That's the real big difference, is the price points will be different for players. So it should affect who you play. So not even to say that the best plays on DraftKings would be the best plays on FanDuel. That just depends on their price points. But I'm on DraftKings, and we're going to take a look at the two lineups that I did yesterday. I did two because there's typically two type of contests. You have a GPP contest, and then you have a cash game contest. Now, the cash game concept, pretty simple. When you think about winning these contests, there's two types of contests. Cash games, half of the people, or 50-50s even, half of the people typically will double up their money, or for a buck, you get a buck 80 back, right? Potatoes, really. But the point is, half of the people win, right? So I don't have to be great. I don't have to be better than everyone, I just have to be better than half of the people. So a little bit of viable information from us will 100% get you there, okay? So when you look at those cash game lineups, you don't have to worry about things like ownership. Just go ahead and plug in who you like, make sure the salary fits, right? Now for GPPs though, that's a little bit of a different. GPP is a contest or a tournament, right? You wanna, think about that winner take all scenario, or top 10 out of like thousands of people, right? Those are a lot larger and a lot harder to take down, though, consequently. Think about it like this, right? Like I'm an LSU Tigers fan, right? Go Tigers. I think about sitting in Death Valley, sitting in that stadium, how many people are there, right? That's thousands of screaming fans. The daily fantasy landscape in terms of GPP is the same way, guys. When you look at that number of entrants in the contest, right? It's large like that. And that's the way you got to think about it. So it's harder, of course. You're sitting with a stadium full of people saying, I'm going to take this down, right? So those are going to be fewer and far in between. You're going to have to be very different to do that. So we talk about diversifying the lineup and going with contrarian picks. These are guys that should do well but will be lower owned. Unlike cash games, where we can just kind of pick who we want regardless of ownership. I can't win even if I have great players, but everybody else has good players too. So not only do I have to pick good guys, but I've got to pick good guys that nobody else has to shoot all the way to the top of that GPP and take it down. So a little bit of a harder concept. You're looking for more of those diamonds in the roughs, right? Now let's take a look at where we went yesterday. For my GPP lineup, I went with Kopech from the Chicago White Sox. I'm a White Sox fan, Chicago hometown boy, and honestly, I've been following him. I know he has high strikeout stuff, which is what we like for daily fantasy. Pitchers that, play to contact, a lot of grounders, stuff like that. That won't help you rack up the fantasy points. We can get points on DraftKings for wins, points for strikeouts, things like that, right? So we want those strikeouts. Kopech, very fast heater, right? He can get over that 100-mile-an-hour mark easily. And Minnesota, very weak watered down lineup, even traded off a few guys. I liked his prospects of coming in, them not having seen him, and him being able to rack up the strikeouts. Don't care if he wins or loses, I want those strikeouts. I paired him with Tanaka. Okay, again, going down to the Florida Marlins, Cavernous Park. he is a pitch to contact kind of guy with some strikeout upside. I mean, he'll play to keep it in the park, let a few pop-ups come up and things like that. But with such a big park, I just didn't see anybody on Miami that could get it out there on him. He looked like a good play, even though he was a little more expensive. I went with Contreras at catcher. Bowers at first base from Tampa Bay as a salary saver. I believe they were playing the Orioles yesterday. And so I just, you know, I like the lineup versus a weak pitcher. And then I went with a few Milwaukee Brewers. You want to get that stack in on a GPP lineup. Not less or not more critical of a thing to do when you're doing a cash game lineup. You can just kind of pick the best guys, the guys you feel more comfortable about. But for GPPs, we want to stack these guys up and benefit off of, you know, that production lying on top of one another. What I mean is, you know, I take, you know, guys, you know, 2, 3, 4 in the order, you know, that's great. They all produce even better for me, but I hit a single, this guy gets on, I get the points for it. My next guy at bat hits a single, I get the points for that. You know, maybe the other guy steals, I get the points for that. Third guy comes up, hits a double, I get the points for that, but he gets the guy in from second. So there's an RBI, I get the points for that, but I get the runs from the guy who was on second. There's a ping pong effect, guys. There's a lot of points that you can achieve simply by playing guys that are going to go off and be in the order together. So when you think about that concept, I put Travis Shaw at second yesterday, Mike Moustakas at third, and then I went with Christian Yelich in the outfield. Yelich has just been on fire lately. And then I went with Piscotty, a little bit of a salary saver, but honestly, I mean, you know, Oakland's been good this year, and he's hitting a little lower in the order. I thought it would be nice and contrarian. Again, another Tampa Bay player, I went with Kevin Kiermaier. And then I also worked in at shortstop Ketel Marte. I thought that the Arizona Diamondbacks were in a good spot yesterday, too. So what happened? Well, Kopech ended up getting hit by a rain delay. So he only pitched 2, but he did give 4 strikeouts. It looked great. It looks like he's got a lot of promise, but to be continued is really all we can say at this point. So I only got the 10.1 points from him, but it wasn't like he got blown up, right? Tanaka, 16.5 points. We got to have better than that, okay? What I mean by that is we want 3.5 times value back for whatever we pay for a guy. So let's say I paid $10,000 for Tanaka, which would be super cheap. We want to get back, you know, 10 times 3.5, so 35 points is what he needs to return us, okay? He got us 16.5 yesterday. Did he get blown up? No. Did he get double digits? Yes. But for what we paid, that was a terrible value. And then you just have to do better if you want to be at the top of that GPP lineup. Contreras was a bust. Bowers, minimal points. Travis Shaw had 14. Moustakas was a bust. And Yelich had 7. So 21 points from the stack. We just need more there. Kiermaier, Biscotti also didn't do much along with Marte. That lineup only scored 65.6 points. But again, I was trying to get contrarian, trying to take a few guesses. And when you're doing GPPs, more often than not, you're going to be on the losing side of things. Okay? So get comfortable with that. But we hedge it with the cash game. So I cashed in my cash game lineups yesterday. 158 points from my cash game lineup. In fact, guys, if I actually had played the cash game lineup in the GPP contest, I would have won first place in those contests there. So the contest that I went for, looks like, well, first and one, very high up in the second. I could have netted about $270 off of this, you know, $2 entry right here or whatever. So again, luck of the draw. Did I have a great lineup yesterday? Yes, but I played it on the wrong, you know, lineup, if you will, or you know, really my lineup that I used to hedge my money and, you know, get it back so I wasn't at a loss was the one that went off. You'll have those nights, guys, but at the end of the day, I can't beat myself up about that. I'm still up plus what I was yesterday, and I get another crack at it today. But if we take a look at who we went with, Brett Anderson got me 30.55 points at pitcher, and Blake Snell 34.5. For the value we played for those fellas yesterday, and we get back almost 66 points, yes, that's what you want right there. That's how you cruise to the top. I went with an Indian stack yesterday. Yan Gomes, 24 points. Melky Cabrera, 24 points. And then Jose Ramirez, 11 points. And Kipnis, 5. So I picked up 4 guys there that yielded massive amount of points, which is what, again, pushes my team up the GPP ladder. It's a prong effect. One of those guys hits a home run. My other guy's on base. Rouse racking in the points, right? Muncy busted at first base. That's 2 points. He had an off night. Again, the Cardinals played the Dodgers very well yesterday. I had Iglesias for salary saver at shortstop. He got me 8 points. Cave in the outfield as salary saver, 7 points going against my White Sox. A little bit of a hedge against Kopech in the other lineup, right? Either he's going to do well or they're going to do well was my thinking. So I put Cave as a hedge over here. And then Calhoun rounded it out, leading off for the Angels. I know it's a weaker lineup, but I liked him. Lefty, top of the order, number one. I know he's facing a lefty. Wasn't worried about that. And just assumed that even if they could work past the starter, that he would do well against the bullpen. So 12 points from him. Very effective day for that lineup. And I want to look to, you know, put something like that together for the GPP contest for today. Okay, let's switch it up now. We have, again, one lineup. No, I did two lineups today, too. So we'll go over both of those. Again, a GPP and a cash lineup. So in terms of a GPP, let's pull up what I have for today, what I went for here. I'm on DraftKings right now, guys. Just bringing this stuff up here. Let's take a look at what we got going on. All right, so for our GPP lineup for today, pitcher going with Jake Junis. Tampa Bay, not a strong lineup. I know Junis isn't the best pitcher, but you know what? You don't have to be. I'm looking for 3X. The salary was low. You know, I'm looking for a nice return. I think 7,200, something like that. So I'm hoping that he can get me to that 3X value against a weak Tampa Bay team. Paired him with Syndergaard, just too lowly priced today. He's 10,200. We really have been getting him at 12 and 13. And he's that good of a pitcher. He doesn't get run support from the Mets, but not his fault. Anyway, very, very low price today, and I think he can actually rack up the points. So typically a cash game play, but I'm so sure about him. I want him in that GPP too, and I can fit it in and just differentiate myself with the bats. Here's where we get a little interesting. The Detroit Tigers are playing the Cubs today, and the Cubs have Lester on the mound. I'm just not a believer. I think the guy's falling apart. More importantly, the Detroit Tigers have hit lefties fairly well this year. More so in the beginning, but the numbers are still there, and I feel fairly confident about them as a GPP low-owned stack today, too. Are they my favorite players? No. Do I think other teams have a better chance of going off other than them today? Yeah, the Indians are always viable, right? But in terms of what I need to do today, which is be sneaky in the GPP, I want to take a look at this Detroit team, especially the guys that can hit the lefties. So James McCann does okay. We have him at catcher. That's a salary saver, $2,700 all the way down at the bottom of the barrel. That leaves us more salary to get some bigger bats in there. We have Goodrum at second and Candelario at third. Candelario leading off, really like him, right? We're leading off away, guaranteed so many at bats. We like that. And I have them with Castellanos. This right here should be a, you know, fairly decent outing for them, hoping for about, you know, 3 to 4 runs from that team, 4 to 5 runs if I'm lucky. But those are the guys that should do it. At first base, I'm going with Duda from Kansas City. And again, that Tampa Bay game, I know they have Stanek going out, and that's really indicative of that weird opener thing they do where there's no starter. The guy that would traditionally be relief or closer comes out and starts the game, and they move on, you know, from there to a starter in the, you know, like the second or third frames. But they just have such a, I guess you could say, a weak bullpen, and they're playing games, you know, and they're, you know, doing what they can to be effective. But Duda, I like the power today at first, paid down for. I think he could have some success against whoever comes in there. Maybe Chirinos, I think, is going to be the guy after Stanek goes out. Stanek's probably going to pitch very well into the second or third, and then we'll see what happens from there. Outside of that, guys, I really like Freddie Galvis and Will Myers today. Just, again, nobody's looking at these guys. They're going into Coors. I know everybody's going to be all on John Gray. He's been great at Coors this year. I'm not saying that he's not a good pick today. But what I am saying is, it's Coors. And any given night, we could have that team go off. The bats have come alive just a little bit for San Diego recently. Galvis seems to be, you know, faring well at the plate, or faring okay. So I'm going to take a play on him for salary saver, Galvis and Myers today. and hope for some production there back to back. And then lastly, rounding it out with Soto getting into the lineup for the Nats. I believe now that Carpenter's back in Seattle, they're more or less pulling into form of what they want to look like on a day-to-day basis over there in Washington. And I think he's going to be a big part of it. He's produced well this year. He's a higher priced player today, but I think that's where my pop's going to come from. So got a nice little mini stack of those Detroit Tigers there, if you will, or I guess a mini stack of San Diego and a stack of the Detroit Tigers and some viable pitching, and really hoping that that's going to do it for me today. Now, my other lineup, the cash game lineup, I did go with John Gray. So we see how I hedge my bets there. I got bats against him in the GPP, but I told you he should be a decent play because of his results all year. I put him in the cash game. So I'm hedging my bets against myself. Obviously, he can pitch well or they could hit him, but I think either way I'm covered. I went with Syndergaard here as well. Just too good today. Just plug him in. Catcher Molina. And I'm going to pair him with Carpenter at third base today. I like Carpenter being back in St. Louis, high up in the order. I want to see what he can do. Again, picking on Tampa Bay for salary saver, I'm going to go with Herrera in the outfield and pair him with Whit Merrifield, who I think has a great chance of doing some good production today. I'm also going to go with Daniel Murphy at first base, leading off for the Cubs. Really dangerous when you look at that lineup with him at the top. And I'm going with Baez at second. I like that combo, that 1-2 right there as well. So shortstop, we'll go over there. I went ahead and put Paul DeJong in there. They hit yesterday pretty well. I didn't think that the Cardinals would fare that well in Los Angeles, out here in Los Angeles last night. We'll see if they can do it again. DeJong, you know, some of those guys, Yorko, they're coming around a little bit, I think. So I'll take a chance tonight. And then rounding it out, batting ninth in a dangerous lineup, Jackie Bradley Jr. I'll take the lefty at, you know, nearly baseline price. I mean, it's a great offense. We've seen him go off this year. For that price, I'm willing to just take a stab at it. So, guys, that's a little bit of DFS for you yesterday and today. Hopefully that was a little bit insightful or helpful. And if you play today, then good luck to you. We will try to do another one of these soon. And really, as I said, as we get to the playoffs, we will get back into what's happening, you know, game by game on the field. You'll have me and James, but intermittently, James is probably going to do some podcast about the futures. A lot of great information out there about some of the prospects right now coming up, and he's going to help shape our understanding of who we should be looking at for next year, who we should be looking at for playing Dynasty League, seasonal, stuff like that. All right, guys, that's going to do it for us today. Catch you next time. The Heart of the Order is brought to you by Tiger Bomb Sports Audio Entertainment, LLC.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.